Welcome back, guys. DGS306. Happy Wednesday to you. Gorgeous day out there. Just got invited to go to the ball game with my son tonight, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing Nolan Gorman.
Going to Memphis?
Yes. Jared Young is with us live in studio. He is an independent Missouri candidate for Senate running against Hawley and Kuntz. Pleasure to meet you. Really is. I love independent people. I love centrists. I love moderates. I love ballsy people that don't have to be a part of a specific party, especially these two parties the way they are right now. So Introduce yourself to KMOX audience. Tell your story.
Yeah, so like you said, I'm Jared Young, running for the U.S. Senate. Come from Southwest Missouri, but really am just, I guess the most important thing to know about me is I'm a father of six. So that's what dominates my life, six kids.
I guess so.
But former CEO, ran a business in Joplin for the last 9 or 10 years. Before that, just like you, I was an attorney very briefly.
Yeah.
And really just got into politics because I am so exhausted and so frustrated by the direction of our national politics over the last 9 or 10 years. And I found myself every election crossing my fingers that we were going to take a step back towards normalcy and decency and civility. And instead, it gets worse every election cycle. And so I reached a point where I either needed to completely check out or I needed to go all in. And I decided all in.
You know, it's sad from like a human sociological standpoint, I think, is that we have a lot of people out there like the Lindsey Grahams of the world who didn't know they could reach this level of ass-kissery. Like, they truly didn't think that they were that person, and then they found out that they were. And there's so much of that on both sides that people are really revealing their character in a way that I think is shocking even to them.
Oh, yeah, it's been hugely disappointing, just hugely disappointing.
What are your, I started to say pet issues, but what are the most important issues to you?
Things I like to focus on are areas where I feel like there's actually really broad consensus among the voters, but we're not making any progress simply because of the partisan bickering and gamesmanship. And one of those areas, of course, is immigration. I think there's two truths about immigration that almost all voters agree on, and that's one, we need a secure border, and two, we need legal immigrants. They're an incredibly important part of our economy, an important part of our culture. And most people agree with that, but we just have these games and neither party wants to give the other party a win. And so we can't make any progress, even though there's an incredible common ground, and it just really shouldn't be that hard.
And what's sad about this is I would wager that 99% of the politicians out there, including Mr. Hawley and Mr. Kuntz, get them six beer drunk and they agree with you.
Yep.
They know you're right.
Yeah.
They just don't have whatever it takes to do it the way that you're doing.
Yeah, well, I think the incentives are all wrong in our system right now, right? So the first thing that is on Josh Hawley's mind is, how is this going to impact my reelection chances? Yep. How is this going to impact whatever ambitions I have for other office? And then maybe down the line, he'll think about, okay, well, how is this going to impact the country? And I think that's problematic. He's not the only one. And I don't think they're necessarily bad people. You know, a lot of people will be like, oh, they're all crooks. I don't agree with that. I think most people go to Washington with good intentions because they like the country and they think they can do something for it. But within this party system, they are so constrained and the incentives are all wrong. So I think if we really want to change what's going on out there, we have to do it from outside the parties.
I agree. It's like simple syllogistic logic. You just look that, everyone that goes into this hopper comes out different. Right. There's something about the hopper. There's something about being a politician on that level that is so intoxicating that people will compromise almost anything to stay there.
Yeah. So as I prepared to do this and, you know, I talked to people, I think I'm going to do it as an independent. Of course, anybody who knew anything about politics was like, oh, Jared,
yeah, don't waste your time.
Waste of time. Don't even think about it. You'll just waste a bunch of money. But I just felt like the only reason I'm going into this is to try to really change things. And the only way I can accomplish that is as an independent. So I wasn't going to do it if I couldn't do it the way I wanted to.
Yeah. Which way, if you had to say, which way do you lean more? Are you straight down the middle? Because I tend to be a center right kind of person.
Yeah.
I tend to be the classic, boring, fiscally responsible, not in my own life, but very socially liberal and do what you want to do, be who you want to be. I'm not going to try to tell you how to live your life. You kind of line up with that?
I'd call myself a moderate conservative. So yeah, voted Republican most of my life. But I'm probably a little more socially conservative than what you described. You know, I was raised a churchgoer, a member of the LDS church. So pretty socially conservative. But I guess the difference is You know, I went to Harvard Law School, so have a ton of really liberal friends, and went to BYU for undergrad, so really conservative friends. And what you discover is, hey, these are all really great people.
Yeah.
And so that just moderates your opinions on everything.
Who really believe what they're telling you.
Yeah, exactly. And they're smart people. They're not thinking differently from me because they're stupid.
Yes.
And so once you just recognize, hey, everybody has good intent. Well, most people have good intentions. Yeah. And most people are actually pretty smart. And it's just much easier to have intelligent conversations and respect other people's opinions, whether they agree with you or not.
Love him or hate him, we're talking about the effect that Donald Trump has had. And it's really, really revealed itself to me, especially in the last few weeks, in watching the DNC and Kamala Harris, that it seems that it's a contest between a party and a person.
Right.
That it's just a guy. And you may love him, you may worship him, but there's not a real party there anymore. That's just a guy.
Yeah, he has really redone the Republican Party in his image, right?
So Amen.
There's just no difference there. Everybody has conformed or left, basically.
Yeah. So how do you wedge yourself in between these two better known candidates? How do you do that? Besides like being on shows like this and such?
You know, what I'm finding is the voters are ready for this. You know, before we jumped in, we did polling, of course, and what we found was 70% of Missouri voters are open to voting for an independent candidate in this particular race, and 43% of Missouri voters identify as independents. So they're already the largest voting bloc in Missouri. So it's not a matter this time around of trying to convince people that we need this. They already know we need this. It's just a matter of letting them know, hey, you have a viable, competent option that you can actually look at.
Yeah.
And of course, usually that takes resources to get in front of 4 million voters. Which is always the biggest challenge of an independent candidate.
Yeah.
But we've done a good job of making the most of what we have and being really efficient and cost effective and creative with how we're campaigning. And it's worked pretty well so far.
So if you would be to the right of Mr. Koontz, how do you run against Josh Hawley? What differentiates you from that gentleman?
You know, there are a lot of people who are uncomfortable with Josh Hawley and are only voting for him because they're more afraid of the Democrats than they are of Josh Hawley. Yeah. But if you really look hard at what Josh Hawley is actually doing, what he stands for, he is not standing up for the traditional conservative principles that you used to associate with the Republican Party. I mean, he's a populist. So if you look at the way that he talks and the way Lucas Koontz talks, if you take out abortion and maybe some environmental stuff and the LGBTQ stuff, those guys talk exactly the same. I mean, they're for big government intervention. They're apparently both really pro-union now. There's been kind of this, I describe it as a circle, like the two sides are meeting at the other side of the circle. And so for me, I'm more of a traditional conservative, I guess you could say. I really believe in, you know, small government. Our constitutional institutions, I think, are incredibly important. And I'm concerned, you know, the whole January 6th stuff, the election denying is really concerning to me.
Yeah.
But also the attempts right now by the Democratic Party to undermine the Supreme Court are really concerning to me. I just think there's a lot of people right now that are forgetting what has gotten us to where we are. And I know, you know, Make America Great Again is Trump's, is his motto. But I think America already is great, but we're headed the wrong direction, not because of one party or the other, but because both parties have completely lost the ability to work productively together to solve complex issues.
Yeah, I kind of miss the old smoke-filled back room days of like the 80s and the 90s because the politicians trusted each other more. You didn't have the focus, the 24/7.
Right.
It's such a conundrum because you want the healing light of sunlight shining on everything and everyone so we know what's going on, but you don't want it to become the WWE.
Right.
And that's what it's become.
Yeah, so obviously we haven't found the right balance because you're right. We want transparency. We don't want the corruption that was sometimes associated with those smoke-filled rooms, but man, sometimes they were producing much better candidates than we're getting today. So it's
and agreements.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they knew what you know now, what you've said about this is the way you govern. Everyone knew that then. Everyone knows it now. They're afraid to lose their little piece of the action.
Yep.
You know, you just can't stand up and be counted because you'll end up getting Liz Cheney'd. So,
right.
So I have to ask, what was Harvard like?
You know, for a guy like me coming out of, you know, an extremely conservative, extremely white university, Harvard was fantastic. We talk about diversity in higher education. The diversity at Harvard was a huge blessing to me, and I got to interact with really smart people from all over the country, from all kinds of different backgrounds. And so it was an amazing experience. and worked with really, really smart people. Not everybody that I agreed with necessarily, but that was really healthy and good for me. It really forced me to sharpen my own, you know, intellectual abilities and my own ability to defend the things that I believe in.
Yeah.
And came out with lifelong friends.
So when I was at WashU, the Harvard of St. Louis, I remember it took about a week to go, oh, I belong here. Like, at first, you think everyone's a cyborg and there's been some mistake with your transcript.
There's tons of, I think everyone who goes to Harvard, except for the select, I guess, really conceited few, but I think everyone who goes there has imposter syndrome and really thinks like, do I really belong here? But yeah, everybody's human.
How do people get in touch with you? How do people get involved in the campaign?
So you can find out more about the campaign at votejaredyoung.com. That's JAREDYOUNG, votejaredyoung.com. And then on social media, it's at Vote Jared Young. So those are the two best ways to find out more and get in touch with us.
Okay. We do a lot of this. We do on Tuesdays, the Think Tank, where like yesterday we had Ray Hartman on, who's running against Ann Wagner. So before the election, come in and do one of those for us.
Yeah, we'd love to do it.
Cool. All right. Very, very quick. Quick break, DGS. DGS, happy Wednesday to you. Our buddy Matt Pauly joins us from the sports department. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
So we just got the news that Nolan Gorman is going down, and I asked Wheels, why does it feel like the wheels are coming off? And he said it's because they are. do you agree?
Yeah. They're in a really bad spot right now. They can't get out of it, and every single loss makes it that much tougher to go on a run and find their way back legitimately into the playoff race, which I would argue they're not right now.
Boy, last night was
terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, the ninth inning, I know I tweeted this, but it's a microcosm of the entire season.
Yeah.
Lots of chances, should be better than you are, and you have your opportunities, and you just don't do the job.
Exactly. So you go through the first seven innings and get one hit, and then all of a sudden they come up with hits in the final two innings, and you're wondering why couldn't they done that a little bit earlier? And then they get the two runners on there in the ninth inning, and you know there was some talk about whether or not that lead runner could have scored. What was it on the Arenado double down the right field line? And, you know, maybe he could have. It was probably a 50-50 call, but in that situation, there's no way you can chance losing that runner at home in that situation.
One out and your good hitters, allegedly good hitters, coming up. Yeah, you don't get thrown out there.
Had a lot of discussion on the postgame show last night, and I thought it was an interesting discussion on whether or not Nolan Gorman should have even been allowed to hit. You had two guys on the bench at that point, and Luke and Baker and Pedro Páez, and not that either of those guys should be better hitters than Gorman, but right now it feels like maybe they give you a little bit more. It would create some challenges from a field standpoint in the next half inning if you only score one, but deal with that then. Tie the game. Put yourself in position. So, last night was frustrating. It really was.
So, Matt, doing Sports Open Line, probably no one in St. Louis has a better idea the pulse of the Cardinals Nation. What is the attitude on a nightly basis with you?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I don't think the people who call into my show, and I don't think the social media folks represent the majority, but I think the vocal minority is getting larger and larger and larger and larger, and nobody is happy. Everybody is frustrated. Everybody wants to see change right now, and more than anything else, they want to see the team win games, and they're not winning right now.
There's also an element of this, I think, that is frustrating to people, too, is that a lot of the reasons or the lack of reactions, they don't make sense. I think that's what's frustrating. And I know it is to me. I'm not a Cardinals fan. I didn't grow up rooting for the Cardinals. I follow them as a person that follows baseball. I cover the Cardinals. I was so irrationally mad last night because they keep playing this game where we only care about defense in center field, and that's why they went with Michael Ciani, and that's why they're going with Victor Scott. Never mind the fact that Victor Scott has not played good defense.
No.
He's an average defender, and if he's going to be an average defender and not hit at all, you can't keep doing it. And I know like they're not bad because of center field, but the center field thing symbolizes what frustrates me, and that is an adherence to things from the past that have worked that are not working now. It is not working. They have the least productive center field in Major League Baseball this year, yet the priority is defense while your offense can't score. And, you know, defense, guys, I know I've said this before to Matt, Dave, I'm not sure I've said it to you, but defense really matters but its level of importance is not greater than offense. Offense is at least 3 to 4 times more important than defense, because literally anybody can play defense. There are great defensive players in the minor leagues everywhere that can't hit. Finding great fielders who can't hit is easy. It's difficult to find the hitters, which is why you should favor the offense when your team is struggling to score runs, not lean more into defense. But this team is, they did it 3 years ago, and, well, leaning into defense worked then. Well, we're going to do it again. It's not working now.
They made it a priority in the offseason, and they've never taken a step off of that priority. And 162 games is a long season, and you've got multiple chapters during a season, and things change. And,
yes,
and a baseball team can be very organic, and you got to be able to change along with them. So when Michael Ciani's out there making a bunch of nice defensive plays and doing enough offensively, that's fine. But when you have one hit through 7 innings and it just looks the way it looks every single day, you can't just have this spot in the lineup that is going to be a complete black hole. And that's what they're getting from Victor Scott II. But on the other side of things, you put Lars Nootbaar in center field. He hasn't really swung a hot bat this year. You put him in center, it opens up an opportunity in one of the corner outfield spots for somebody else. But even, Wheels, I agree with you, but even if today they just said Victor Scott is not going to play center field, Lars Nootbaar is going to play center field, that doesn't fix the offensive issues.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it. Welcome back, guys. DGS 335. Skip's going to be here to do the Sweet 16 at the top of the hour. Dave Murray joins us now, as always. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
There's always a big breath, and I never know whether it's you or if it's one of the dogs.
He's a werewolf.
Yeah. Maybe that's what Dave doesn't even have dogs.
It's just him in the background.
So another couple of days of this beautiful weather until we heat up again.
Let's take it through noontime on Friday. We're talking 58 tonight, 81 tomorrow, 61 Thursday night. Now, Friday morning is great. 90 degrees, though, in the afternoon. That means most of the afternoon in the 80s. We can certainly handle that. 73 Friday, so starting to edge up a little bit Friday night. Saturday, partly sunny, 92. Sunday, partly sunny, 95. We're going to see the southerly flow come back at low levels in the atmosphere over the weekend, but the northwest flow in the upper atmosphere is going to stay with us. And I just want to put it out there right now. It's not in my forecast, but we could see maybe an hour or two of some quick showers first thing Sunday morning, if everything comes together just the way it has to. Mm-hmm. But right now, let's keep it dry. And don't forget fall forecast Friday.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
3:30.
Like this Friday?
Yeah.
Damn. This Friday.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Exciting.
That is exciting. Yay. I love it. Headlines, Rach?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Okay, you guys remember monkeypox? Or Mpox, as we're calling it now?
Yeah,
sure.
There's more than 1,000 new cases of Mpox reported in the Congo last week, according to health officials. The World Health Organization has declared a global public health emergency over the outbreak, with more than 18,000 cases and 500 deaths reported worldwide.
I was going to say, remind me, is this a deadly disease? But I guess it is.
It is. This is, officials say that vaccines are desperately needed to fight back against the outbreak.
Was it like a year or so, a couple years ago, when it first reared its head and we were, you know, everyone's talking about monkeypox, and then we just forgot all about it?
Yeah, I think it was happening kind of parallel with COVID, and COVID just kind of, you know,
outpaced it.
Absolutely. All right, this is a sad story. ICE lost track of 32,000 migrant children. This is according to a new report from the Department of Homeland Security. 32,000 unaccompanied minors over a 5-year period are unaccounted for, according to officials. In most cases, they failed to appear at court hearings. Now, there were nearly 450,000 unaccompanied migrant children transferred by ICE between 2019 and 2023.
You know, we just had a guy named Jared Young on who is running independent against Hawley and Kuntz. And what he said is so true. Like, everyone knows that the border needs two things. It needs to be closed so it's not an open gate. And we need to have people come in here to do jobs and to work and to become American citizens. We all know that both these things are true. But the politics keeps us from solving what I think, like Rach has called guns the unsolvable problem. I'm not sure I disagree, but this one is solvable. This one we can solve the border crisis if we just our heads out of our ass.
But people don't want to, because every time we bump up against perhaps solving it, there's a political reason to stop doing that. So, I mean, it's just very sad. And there's a lot of human suffering involved with not getting this done. So. Yeah. All right, moving on. A woman climbed the fence of a tiger enclosure at the New Jersey Zoo. Now, I could be wrong, but it seems like stuff like this is always happening at the New Jersey Zoo. Security footage shows the woman climbing the barrier of the tiger enclosure. She put her hand through a wire fence to try to pet one of the tigers and nearly was bitten before posing for some photos and climbing out. Police are asking the public for help identifying the woman who broke city ordinances in addition to risking her life to pet the tigers.
Prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Prison. Me too.
Yeah, maybe for her own good. I mean,
throw them right in there with the tiger.
Smart enough to be out in public.
You know, it's sad because you shouldn't have to protect grown-ass people from themselves. You shouldn't have to make enclosures that a human cannot possibly get into from the outside. You would think that anybody would have common sense enough not to climb the enclosure to get near an animal that will kill you.
This is an interesting story. The mayor of Thompson, Georgia, is facing charges for allegedly providing alcohol to inmates by putting gin in a ditch near where they were working.
Gosh.
His name was Benjamin Cranford. He was charged with furnishing prohibited items to inmates in criminal attempt to commit a felony. He apparently purchased a bottle of Seagram's Extra Dry Gin and put the bottle in a ditch along a road in the path of prisoners' work detail. Cranford says he intends to continue serving as mayor and denied the claim, saying, "I've done nothing wrong."
So why would he do it?
My guess would be somebody's paying him.
Huh.
But
I mean, just a guess. Why else would you?
Because he wanted to seem cool in front of the inmates.
Yeah.
Just weird.
It's like when you buy kids liquor outside of the liquor store. It's like, I want them to think I'm cool.
That's very South Roxanne. I'm going to put your gin in the ditch.
So we talked about mpox. Let's talk about bird flu. Unfortunately, now bird flu is infecting domesticated cats. So it's taken out more than 100 million birds, 191 dairy farm herds, and has infected at least 13 farm workers. Now the influenza strain has spread to indoor pet cats. At least 21 domestic cats have reportedly been infected.
Speaking of the wheels coming off, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, this is kind of a depressing headline. I'm like, watch out for all these diseases you could get, or your cat could also get them. $5 million worth of meth was found hidden in watermelons, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. They shared yesterday that it discovered the $5 million worth of methamphetamines hidden in watermelons last week. A 29-year-old man was driving a tractor trailer, tried to enter the country with this shipment of hollowed-out fruit. And he told agents that he was bringing fruit across the border, but he was instead stopped for further inspection.
That reminds me.
Filled with meth. So.
When I worked out at Losh Farms, we had watermelon, and I was on the corn crew, hate to brag. So I'd get out there at like.
Was that the higher crew?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got out there like at 5 a.m. And so we would go, first thing, we'd go get a couple of seedless sugar baby watermelons and put them in the freezer.
Yum.
And so then by lunchtime, they were just. Mwah, perfect. And so I'm 14, and a couple of the older guys, there were 18, 22, a couple of 40-year-olds whose life hadn't worked out quite right. And one time they spiked it with vodka. And I saw them do this. It wasn't a surprise to me. But I'm 14. I'd never even seen alcohol. I never tasted it. And so they unplug it and they give me a bite of it. I'm like, wow, that's like the best vodka I've ever. I'm like,
you guys find that in a ditch or what?
Yeah, such a dork.
Was that
you are so
ditch.
Cool, man.
Like, I couldn't have seemed more like.
That's so great.
That is one of the best ways to ingest vodka, though, is soaking it in fruit. Like, if you've ever done that on a float trip or something, it kind of takes away the taste of the...
Look at the party girl.
I'm not a party girl. I'm just saying I've had it before, and it's quite good. Just a tip out there for, you know, it's still summertime. People might want to make something like that. All right, I'm reluctant to bring up...
Wheels is laughing at you.
Why?
I'm not laughing at you. It's just
funny. It was
funny.
Pretty close.
It was just funny because it's like, just in case.
Yeah, just keep that in mind, everybody. It's
if you've
delicious.
Never had meth in a coconut bar...
here's how you do it.
That's one way to do it. Yeah, I'm reluctant to bring this up because it's so fun not talking about politics, but I thought this was a kind of an interesting story after all these two have been through together. Donald Trump shares rare praise for Barack Obama, saying, quote, he's a nice gentleman. He said, I like him. I think he's a nice gentleman, but he was very, very weak on trade. Then goes on to talk more about trade. But he said, I happen to like him. I respect him. And I respect his wife.
I wonder, was this before trashed him?
What if they ask him today?
This was a possible prebuttal of his remarks in Chicago.
Yeah, so he didn't see the joke yet.
No,
yeah.
He didn't.
Which...
That's going to change.
And my final story here, this is a sad one. Jennifer Lopez files for divorce from Ben Affleck after 2 years of marriage. And apparently they don't have a prenup.
So who makes out better or worse there? Who's got the most money?
Wouldn't you think they would both just be like, we don't need any of each other's stuff?
Think
yeah,
so.
You would
like,
think so.
I mean, come on.
So.
You're both bazillionaires. Who gives a crap?
Especially, like, they're both in their 50s. They were only married 2 years.
They don't have kids.
Yeah, together. Not together. So.
You would hope that this would be rational. But then again, look at who we're talking about.
I know. I feel bad because when they got back together, I was like, oh, that's cool. They're back together. And they got married again or they weren't married previously, but then they were engaged in the past. They got married so quickly. And I'm like, I hope they're able to make this last because I don't know. I could just see it going south. And here it is. So my condolences to J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Alrighty.
Some fun facts?
Yes, please.
The price of a bar of gold, like the classic, you know, from a television show or a movie, is worth $1 million for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I guess I would have had no idea how much they were worth.
No, I would not have either. I would have thought a billion.
And just to be clear, these are different than the ones you can get at Costco. Just want to throw that out there.
Oh, they're not full on, like... What you call it?
The Costco ones are not the full bar of gold.
Oh, okay.
I got to get my Costco gold. I got to go take care of that.
I'm surprised they don't have somebody standing there.
How much candy do you get at Costco? How big are their bars?
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
There was a story about it. I mean, they're like decent sized. It's just more weird that Costco is getting involved in the gold trade in the first place. Costco gold. About boop. 1 ounce.
Oh, okay.
That's not really a bar.
Yeah.
More of a nugget.
During the American Revolution, George Washington swore that he would never set foot on British soil again. So when a statue of him went up in London in 1921, the state of Virginia sent over some dirt so that the statue could be erected on top of Virginia dirt and not English dirt.
That's nice. Next level petty.
Right?
I mean, I will say, though, in fairness, USA. You did fight a war against them.
Right.
Why is England putting up a statue of... him
yeah,
anyway.
Good question.
Anywho's.
They seem to take the whole Revolutionary War thing really well.
Yeah, they seem to be totally over it.
Yeah, I mean,
it's nice.
The War of 1812, they're like, not yet. Then they're like, okay, now's good.
I appreciate them being like, you know what? Maybe it worked out better for everybody.
You guys were too much for
us
to handle.
Yeah, they look at it now and they're like, man, imagine if we still had to manage that.
Mm-hmm. We should get someone on to talk about that because it's
those sweet, sweet taxes, though.
It's one area of history I've never understood.
The like Revolutionary War?
I mean, well, we beat them, and then they just went, okay,
we're
going to be your best friends.
It was trade. War. I mean, money.
Oh, never mind. We don't have to have anybody.
No, we have Wheeler.
It's trade.
Yeah.
He's got it. Trade. The first ceiling.
I think he's right, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Don't give him credit.
I watch TV shows.
The first ceiling fans were installed in America in the 1860s and were powered by running water, a turbine, and belts.
Okay.
People love their comfort. God, how mad would you be? 36 flights were canceled and 201 were delayed at a Japanese airport over the weekend after a pair of scissors. One pair of scissors went missing in a store near the gates. They were found the next day in the store.
Yeah. Kurt and I were talking about this yesterday and he was like, see, that's the problem with like everything going so smoothly all the time is that like if a pair of scissors goes missing,
people go crazy.
Yeah. All these flights get delayed because it's like, well, we obviously can't carry on. We have to do this the right way. So, there's good
I like
and
the
bad
lower standards of
it.
America.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Where my daughter was allowed to get on a plane with very large scissors.
They're like, oh, nice scissors. Those are cool. Have fun on your flight.
They're just like, guess we're doing scissors now.
TikTok doctor in Georgia claims that lemon juice is the secret to curing hiccups. Just a drop of lemon juice in the back of your throat should stop it immediately. So just in case anyone out there has
I have hiccups real bad.
I could have used that about 5 minutes ago. I had some hiccups, but they went away.
I get a timely story. Every single day. Do you guys get them like every day?
No.
Ugh.
According to a new survey, the average person knows if their day has been ruined by 8:36 a.m.
Impossible. Because I don't wake up at 8:30.
That's why you're always having good days, Bill.
Maybe that's it.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.